How many of you remember your baptism? I'm guessing not many of us, because the vast majority of us were probably baptized as a kid, and those who were baptized as adults might still remember. Now, there might be some little sadness in it. Don't we wish we remember that pivotal moment in which we were Christian at that moment? Wouldn't we like to know what it's like to have the water poured upon us or be submerged into it? That's not really the point. And in the same vein, if we did know, it would help us connect more strongly with today's gospel, to know what Jesus went to feel what it's like, to feel the water rushing over him, and that kind of mentality. But that's also to make it assume like baptism is another box we checked. Yep, got that done. And we treat baptism a lot like we treat a very bad marriage, where I get married, and after we're married, like, let's split up. You go live your life, I'll live mine, it'll be great, right? Or if I was a priest and after ordination went, hey, let's not worry about this. You all are gone for the next 6 months. I'm going to leave too. We'll call it good, right? It doesn't work that way. We have to think of baptism a bit differently too. We have to understand that baptism isn't something that's once and done, but something that pervades our life, something that changed the character of who we are. And our goal is to live that, to constantly invigorate it once again. Why was Jesus baptized? That'll help us understand how we ought to experience it. He was baptized for our sake, not for his own. He didn't need the forgiveness of sins. He didn't need to be washed clean in water. He was ritually clean from the beginning. He's God. He did it to pave the way for us, that we may know that this particular event, this action, this liturgical action, this sacrament is there for us, that we may have the cleansing power that it brings from our sins, that we may also be grafted onto Jesus and become something anew. That's the beauty of baptism. Now, the challenge is feeling that over and over and over again, to recognize its power in our lives, that we've become something new. How do we live that? Well, actually, there's a lot of ways to experience the power of baptism and to remind ourselves of its truth in our lives without doing much. We forget that the sacraments are here for us, and God imbued the whole world with a sacramentality that by experiencing the signs and symbols, we remind ourselves of the grace that comes through these sacraments. For instance, I bet a lot of you on your way into Mass today dipped your hands in the holy water font and made the sign of the cross. Am I right? Well, what is that about? Well, that's holy water. Holy water as a sacramental refers back to its sacrament, which is baptism. The very fact of having holy water reminds us that we are baptized, reminds us that that moment is cleansing, so that every time we touch the holy water, every time it touches us, every time we sprinkle something with it, it reminds us of its cleansing power. That's what it's there for. That as we enter the church, we not only remind ourselves that by entering the church, we entered by baptism, but by entering again, we remind ourselves of that fact. So every time we use it, it reminds us of our baptism. In the same way, we made the sign of the cross. We were given the sign of the cross at our baptism. It's not just some throwaway symbol. At our baptism, we were signed with the sign of the cross, baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, so that every time we make that sign, mark ourselves with a cross, we're reminding ourselves of our baptism, that it's in our baptism that now we don't just pray, we pray in union with the Spirit who is within us. That's the power of that symbol. That's why everything begins with it. We begin the Mass with that symbol to remind ourselves of our baptism. We begin our prayer with that to remind ourselves we're praying in and with the Spirit when we pray. That symbol should be a constant reminder of us that we are one of the baptized. But we can go even further than that. What about a candle? At our baptism, we're handed a candle and saying, the light of Christ. Our charge was to keep the light burning within us, as though we have this little flickering flame deep within us that's the light of our faith. And our goal is to guard it, to keep it safe, and not let it be blown out. And we know how easily a candle can be blown out. A little puff of wind, or here it's any wind, but that's a different story. It can easily be blown out or just die as the wax is gone. So we also have to be careful that that light of faith does not burn out, that we don't lose it, but constantly make it grow, build it, let it well up inside of us like a spring of water. Here's one you might not think about. I'm guessing most of us took a shower before we got here. Hopefully all of us did at some point recently. But even the very act of taking a shower or a bath can be a reminder of our baptism. That as the water washes down on us, it also cleanses us. We feel clean afterwards. We can feel the power of our own baptism just by the very nature of taking a bath or taking a shower. These events remind us of what it's like to be clean, to remind us of on a spiritual level that God wants to cleanse us. He wants to wash us of all that. He wants us to be free and stand rightly in the world. Same thing as if we went to a lake in the middle of the summer. The cool water as we're swimming through the lake or as we're plunging into its depths reminds us of the power of baptism. That if we were to be baptized with full immersion, dunked full on in, we'd feel the water prickle our skin. We'd feel our lungs burn with the lack of oxygen. We'd feel rising up out of the water as new life comes into us and we feel the air once again. These are the symbols. These are the signs. These are the feeling of baptism. We are not immune to it. The very world is imbued in such a way that we may recognize these signs and remind ourselves of the power in our lives. How many of you remember your confirmation? I hope more of you, because most of the time we're either high school or adults at that point. How powerful was it? Was it a profound experience, or was it just another box we checked? That's one of the big challenges. So often, many of the times we experience these sacraments, they feel more like boxes we checked, things we got done, because they don't feel like they change our character for whatever reason. We're not predisposed, whatever. Let's move on from that point, because we can't solve that. But confirmation is much like baptism. Confirmation is one of those things that changed the character of who we are and gave us gifts that we can live and use well. Oddly enough, in today's gospel, Jesus was baptized, then went and prayed for a while. Then after praying with all those who were baptized, then the Spirit came, showing the division but connection between the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. They're a little bit separate because baptism washes us, but confirmation gives us the fire of the Holy Spirit. Do we even know what that means? This is the fun part. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be this invigorating force that gives us vitality and energy, that lets us move through the world, gives us this flame that empowers us and gives us excitement and energy. This is the beauty of confirmation, sealing those gifts from baptism and giving us new life. The very Spirit of God that dwells deep within us. It's a beautiful sacrament. But how do we live it? What does it look like? Did you know that by the power of the Spirit, Jesus did everything he did? Did you know that according to Mark's gospel, the Spirit drove him out into the desert? The word is to throw out, like threw him into the desert. It's not just like, oh, by the way, you should go in the desert for a while. No, it threw him into the desert. By the power of the Spirit, Jesus cast miracles, cured people, showed himself. He never claimed authority of his own. It was always his Father's authority given by the Spirit. In the very few places he could not perform miracles, the reason was because the Spirit didn't let him. They weren't ready for it. And so this is a recognition of what the Spirit can do for us. With the power of the Spirit in our lives, we can actually bring healing to people. We can bring forgiveness. We can feel God's power in a very palpable and tangible way. This is the beauty of confirmation. The symbols we have for it are a little bit more obscure, but I think they'll be powerful for us. Again, I can start with fire, like we had with baptism. A nice fire in a hearth in your house, in the furnace, or whatever it might be, can bring warmth and light to a room, making it more comfortable, more homey feeling, bringing comfort. One of the gifts of the Spirit, comfort. We also knew the power of fire last summer as it ravaged our hillsides and destroyed acres upon acres of land and many homes. Fire can be both warming and comforting, but immensely destructive. Just like the Spirit can bring us great hope, it can also tell us we are doing horribly wrong. In the same vein, it can be like the power of the wind, this invisible force that moves the land, changing the landscape ever slowly or in tumultuous ways. It can bring such destructive power like a hurricane or a calm, cool breeze to chill us in the summer. That's the beauty of wind. It's this invisible force that tells us of the power of the Spirit, transforming but calming all at the same moment. These help us understand the power of the Spirit in our lives too, to allow it mull and move within us, to feel its freedom as we experience the gift of confirmation. Now this clearly isn't in our readings for today, but I bring it up because it finishes the sacraments of initiation. How about the Eucharist? How many of us remember our first communion? I bet it might be a little bit more memorable because lots of us dress up really nicely and we're so excited to be in front of the church, and it's kind of this pivotal day where everyone stares at us and appreciates what's about to happen. But the problem we have with First Communion and the sacrament of the Eucharist is that so often it's become so common that we leave it as mundane. We don't realize the gravity of what we do, that Jesus allows us to gnaw on him with our teeth, that our lips touch his blood. It gets very graphic very quickly and almost uncomfortable to realize what we are doing. But again, the sacrament of the Eucharist is not just this thing we come and do here. The ritual, the signs, the symbols we do here have direct relations to our life, namely a meal. We come to feast. We have food and drink, a full meal. To remind ourselves that every time we eat and drink, it's an encounter with the living God. So many of us do use meal prayers. And interestingly enough, there's actually two forms of it. The first form, which we're supposed to start with, is a prayer of blessing, not one of thanksgiving. We're asking God to send his blessing upon the food that it may not poison us. We want it to nourish and strengthen us, not kill us. But then, after the meal, which is more of a monastic tradition, we say a prayer of thanksgiving, being grateful for the food we've been given and what we have to eat. Same thing we do here. We have prayers before and prayers after we eat to remind ourselves of what we did, so that as the Eucharist feeds us with spiritual food, we recognize that every time we're fed, it's a recognition of God's providence. God has given us food. He has provided for us. He is generous to us. And then it relates right back to the sacrament, because here it begins, there it has its fruition. All of them pool around and have very specific expressions in our lives. And so I challenge you, find these signs and symbols. Realize their power in your life, that you may live a sacramental life. Live a life imbued with God's grace. Live a life in such a way where you see the sacraments and their lived experience in your own lives. And thank the God who continues to give you so many great blessings. This is our adventure, to live the sacraments well, to recognize their power, and to recognize the God who comes to be with us.